So it's the final batch with myself and Uta, and then we've got a few more batches with Liz coming up. So batch number four, we have headlines from Uta.
I hope it would be more uplifting, but a lovable rogue was found dead and a dad was left paralysed. So these are my stories.
And my headlines coming up are former Conservative MP Jonathan Gourlis is named town mayor and neighbours lose fight to stop storage business opening next to their homes. So over to Uta now, who's going to do the first story for us in batch four.
So, lovable rogue was found dead in the Macquarie Foundation home after taking monkey dust. A lovable rogue had taken monkey dust before being found dead at his Macquarie Foundation home. The body of Simon Pass was discovered after a neighbour raised the alarm on Fletcher Road in Stoke. An inquest heard the 48-year-old had endured a traumatic childhood. A coroner ruled his death was drug-related. Police discovered prescribed methadone, heroin and clean syringes at the property. Lucy Jones, clinical lead of the drugs and alcohol services in Stoke-on-Trent, said, historically, he was always very chaotic, but he had resided at the Macquarie property for a while. At the time of his death, he was there on his own, living on his own in that property. He was waiting for his own self-contained property. I'd restarted him back on a script prescription, which was a little bit of a struggle to get him back onto the script because he was presenting so heavily under the influence of substance that I did decline him on May the 13th in 2024. I saw him on May the 25th and he reported to me that he'd been using a large amount of sopiclone and diazepam. I didn't issue him a restart script on that day because I was concerned about his level of intoxication and his alcohol dependence. He said that he'd reduce his zopiclone use and heroin, and he changed from injecting heroin to smoking heroin. He said that he reduced his percentage of the cans of alcohol from 8% to 5%. He wasn't expecting to see me, but he'd got a 5% can in his hands. So it seemed like he was really making an effort. He talked about some trauma that had re-emerged from when he was a child, and he said that he'd been asking to give evidence in court about it. We talked much about him going back to rehab, and I got a good response, and I felt like I was getting somewhere with him. On June 14th, he turned up and wasn't under the influence. He was really good, so I put him back on the script. I last contacted him on June 19th. Simon's family paid tribute to their loved one at the inquest. They said he was always polite and caring, but clearly had his issues with addiction. He was always a loving person, always honest, and never told a lie. He was funny, he was lovable, and always told those he loved that he loved them. He never left a conversation without saying he loved that person. He would take the blame for his brothers, even when he'd done nothing wrong. He was a lovely son, a wonderful sibling, and a brilliant dad. North Staffordshire Assistant Coroner Lindsay Tonks said, alcohol had taken hold of Simon from a young age, leading on to drugs as an adult, both of which consumed his life. He had a number of attempts to detox and to rehabilitate, but sadly each one had failed. He appeared to have ups and downs, as many users do, and it came to a head in May 2024 when Simon's drug use and intoxication increased and his methadone script was stopped. It tied in with the time when his family were observing changes in his behaviour and his appearance, and also with him beginning to open up about the abuse that he'd experienced in his childhood, and him not being afraid to show his vulnerabilities at that stage. He had a level of trust with his support workers and things started to look good. He was reassessed and on June the 17th, his methadone was restarted. By June 18, Simon was waiting for a Macquarie flat so he could be in independent accommodation where he was on his own, but he was fine where he was for the time being and nobody else was living in the house. And then something happened, and we'll probably never know what it was that triggered whatever happened at that stage. It's particularly saddening that something happened to trigger him at that stage, given his recent turnaround and the fact that from what we've heard, it was a turnaround that was different from any in the past. Simon had an extensive history of drug and alcohol abuse. He was found dead at his home on June the 27th in 2024 after consuming a high level of zopiclone as well as monkey dust. My short form conclusion is drug-related. This gentleman had quite a traumatic start with his childhood. He was a lovable rogue and sounds like he was a lovely person who got on with and was regarded by everybody, but sadly couldn't get away from the pull of drugs and alcohol.
Wonderful. Well, not wonderful for the story, but wonderful for the actual reading of it. Okay, so my next story now is former Conservative MP Jonathan Gules, named town mayor. A defeated Tory MP has become a town mayor. Jonathan Gules lost his Stoke-on-Trent North seat in the 2024 general election and was last night named Kidsgrove mayor. The appointment was confirmed at a meeting of Kidsgrove Town Council. Mr. Gules said, "I'm deeply honoured to have been appointed mayor of Kidsgrove for 2025 to 2026. Kidsgrove Parish is more than just a place on a map, it's my home. It's where Nikita and I brought our first home and where we are now raising our children. It's been a privilege to serve this community, previously as a Member of Parliament, delivering on key priorities. Now, in this important civic role, I will work tirelessly for the people of Kidsgrove Parish. With the support of all the town councillors, I am committed to ensuring every voice is heard, and we will continue working together to invest in and champion everything that makes our parish a proud and thriving place to live." Mr. Gules points to a number of achievements during his tenure as an MP. They include the reopening of Kidsgrove Sports Centre, the new pump track at New Chapel Recreation Ground, and a new business park at Chatley Valley West. Councillor Crescinda Dickens has been appointed Deputy Mayor. And over to Uta, who's going to do her next story for us in Batch 4.
Dad was left paralysed by emergency operation, desperate to start earning again. A brave dad is staying positive about the future after an emergency operation left him partially paralysed. Paul Smith began feeling unwell in June 2024, with a scan in October revealing he had a tumour on his spine. The 55-year-old was rushed into surgery, where the tumour was successfully extracted. Subsequent tests indicated that the tumour was non-cancerous. Unfortunately, a portion of Paul's spine was removed during the procedure, causing partial paralysis in his right leg. As a result, he was forced to leave his job at the Ducati motorbike dealership in Trent Vale. Paul told Stoke on Trent Live, "It was life-changing. It's honestly been horrible. When I came out of surgery, I had to do tests and wriggle my toes because they thought I might be paralysed. I've got a 14-year-old son and I didn't know whether or not I was going to be coming home. I didn't know if I was going to get hit with a cancer diagnosis. It was the worst time in my life. It really put things into perspective. I do lots of physiotherapy and I've joined the gym. The doctors say some feeling may return in 2 or 3 years, but it's just a possibility, not certain. The hospital has been phenomenal. They've taken such good care for me. Royal Stoke were excellent and Queen Elizabeth in Birmingham were too. Being off work affects your mental health. My wife's at work, the kids are at school, and you don't have any adult contact in the daytime. It's lonely and it can be difficult. Although Paul has been forced to quit work, he says he's determined not to let his health hold him back. Now he's investing his energy into opening his own online company. He explained, "I've decided to set up a competition company where people can buy tickets online to win prizes. I really want to grow it. I'll be concentrating on watches. That way I won't need a big premises and I can run the operation from home. I know I won't be as big as some other competition sites, but I don't need to be. I don't want to sell tickets for 5p. I'll be doing low-odds competitions. The tickets will be priced higher than other sites, but you'll have a better chance of winning. There's no use buying low-priced tickets when the site is selling 600,000 tickets because they haven't got a cut in hell's chance of winning. Whereas if I'm doing 600 tickets, the odds are a lot better. Running this business gives me something to focus on, and hopefully it'll keep food on the table. This way I can work from home, and although it'll be a challenge, I think it will be very rewarding work. I don't want to be a millionaire. I just want to draw a wage and keep the site growing. Paul's company, Amazing Giveaways Limited, has now amassed hundreds of followers on Facebook. The budding entrepreneur is hopeful it can be a start of a positive new chapter in his life. He added, "I just want to do something positive. I'd like to give something back to the community as well. Once I get in the position, I'd like to offer some money to the charities who operate locally. I'd love to donate to the neurosurgery unit at the Royal Stoke because they helped me massively. It's hard when you're struggling, but there's always something around the corner. If you stick your mind to something, you can achieve it. There's a lot of suicide in the world, especially among men. I have been in some dark places, but I thought of my family and pulled through. You can always be worse off. It's just about elevating your mindset. There's a lot of support groups in Stoke, and they're definitely worth a visit."
Wonderful. So my final story for you now in batch number four is neighbours lose fight to stop storage business opening next to their homes. Plans for a storage business on a former residential garage site has been approved at the second time of asking. The planning committee at Newcastle Borough Council had previously put off making a decision on the proposals for the land off Beeryhurst Road in Kidsgrove due to concerns over lighting and drainage, but committee members have now voted to approve this application from Kidsgrove and Ravenscliff councillor Simon Jones, subject to strict conditions aimed at reducing the impact on neighbours' properties. The site was previously occupied by 12 domestic garages and is surrounded on all sides by houses. Councillor Jones' plans actually involve installing 12 shipping containers to be rented out as private domestic storage. The application was part retrospective as some of the containers together with a pergola are already in place. A number of residents had objected to the plans, raising concerns over lighting, flooding and noise. Objector Craig Cotterill told the committee that the storage business would spoil residents' enjoyment of their gardens, which back onto the site. Mr. Cotterill also complained about the height of the pergola, and some committee members questioned the purpose of the structure. But planning officers told councillors that the pergola was considered acceptable in planning terms, with the reason for its construction being irrelevant. Councillor Andy Fear said, "I can see any well-founded objection at all. It's no business of this committee whatsoever to determine what use things are put on to the property, as long as it's lawful. I have three garden gnomes in my back garden that they serve no use whatsoever. The only reason the committee could be interested in such things would be if those gnomes were grotesquely illuminated at night and 20 foot tall." I love it. Now, the committee was told that measures had been carried out to address drainage concerns. Lighting restrictions will be finalised under a planning condition, with committee chair Paul Northcote to be given sight of these before the final approval. The storage business will operate between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday to Friday and between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. on Saturdays. It will be closed on Sundays and bank holidays. And every now and again, I feel like I'm doing an advert for something, but there we go. Many thanks to listening to the last four batches with myself and Uta. Keep listening for more batches with myself and Liz. And Uta's one and only snippets are coming up next.